You're listening to the Sisterhood of Mummy Imperfect. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Mummy Imperfect, aka Rena. And joining me today are my two beautiful panelists, Raj and Pilar. Now, before we get into the discussion, I just want to apologize about the quality of some of the audio today. I'm really sorry, don't know what happened. I'll try better next time. But hopefully it won't mess with your enjoyment of the podcast too much. Have a listen.
Good to see you again, ladies.
You too.
Welcome back to the Sisterhood of Mummy Imperfect.
Thank you for having us.
So just to kind of have a little chat with you about some stories from the week, which made me just think, oh, what the hell is this about, right? So the first one is Sports Illustrated featured its first burkini-clad model. And I mean, I think that's a good thing, personally. And I was just surprised by some people who had some negative reactions to that. So basically, like for people who listen who don't know, the Somali-American supermodel Halima Aden, she became the first Muslim model to appear in Sports Illustrated wearing a burkini. And so obviously she's all covered up. I think she looked beautiful. So did you see this? What did you think?
I saw it, and I think that it's a shame that people had like that kind of backlash. And I think that ignorance is what people don't know. Do you know what I mean? So people mm-hmm. not understanding that actually, I know that a lot of people that are covered up, that I can't remember, I think I saw a clip, because you know Channel 4 have got that that show at the moment, I can't remember the exact name, but like Other People's Cultures, and it's got these kids that go and okay. visit their friends' houses and learn about each other's culture. And then one of the kids went to visit a Jamaican Muslim family. So it's like their dad is Jamaican and their mum was Pakistani. And the daughter doesn't wear a head wrap at the moment. But the English kid asked her that, oh, are you going to have to wear one? And then she was like, yeah, when I'm older, I will have to wear one. And he said, why do you have to wear one? And she explained it in just like the simplest way. She was just like, because she goes that I'm going to be covered up because my body is just for my husband as a sign of respect. That's what she said in the simplest form. I think she's like an 11-year-old. And she returned back to the boy and she said that, will you still be my friend when I have to wear this head wrap? And it's so interesting because he's just a kid, and he was like, I'm going to be your friend regardless. And I just thought it was the cutest thing that actually that you just see that these things are not what we're not born with ignorance. It's what we're taught later in life. And I think that for older people having a reaction like that, it just shows that you're not understanding. And I think that the thing with that is that beauty comes in all shapes and sizes, and you do not have to be stripped down to be beautiful. You can be covered up as a woman and be beautiful. So that also for her, it means that regardless of her religion, she can still fulfill her dreams as well, I feel like. So I just feel like people's backlash is just a bit like, relax.
So like the backlash was, why is Sports Illustrated? Because it is a magazine which is for men, which features like half naked women. So like, Raj, what do you think about that? Like, is that the kind of place to put somebody wearing like a hijab and all covered up? Like, is she not sexy because she's covered up, or should people just see beyond having flesh on show?
In my opinion, sexy doesn't have to be anything to do with sex. Sex is the act of, I guess, being naked and doing things or whatever. I mean, you don't even have to be naked to have sex, let's be honest. So, but yeah, I think sexy is something completely different. It can just be someone's, it can be in someone's eyes. And mm-hmm. I don't think you have to be naked to be sexy, but obviously the norm for Sports Illustrated is that you will be half naked and, you know, showing a bit of skin and showing a bit of flesh. In this case, she's in a burkini. She looks great. She looks beautiful. The thing is what I saw was from negative comments is obviously other Muslims feel that she's taken away from the point of wearing a burkini or even a burqa because she's being featured in a male magazine, which is basically there for the male gaze, right?
Mm-hmm.
So even like what Pilar was saying about the girl on the Channel 4 show saying like, look, I'm going to wear this because only my husband should see me in a particular way. I think like what the backlash that I was reading was basically about is that it's all about modesty, and it's just not modest being in Sports Illustrated. And that's, I think, like, obviously I can't even say anything about that, because as a Sikh, like in my religion or whatever, I'm not supposed to cut my hair. I cut my hair, but I'm still a Sikh. Yeah. Eat meat, but I'm still a Sikh. I shouldn't be eating meat. I don't know. There's loads of things that I don't do that I should do as a Sikh. So like, I mean, that's the thing, innit? But like, there will be other Sikhs out there that'll be like, yeah, but she cuts her hair. Like, why does she have an opinion on Sikhism and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you come across all of that stuff. So I feel like the backlash that I saw was kind of coming from that Muslim angle of modesty and why is she in a magazine? But then at the same, I just feel like, yeah, she wears a hijab. She wears a hijab out of choice. We don't know her spiritual religious beliefs. Like, everyone takes whatever they want out of a religion, like, and what they connect to. Like, I don't feel like I need to go to a gurdwara to go and pray. I can pray in my bedroom. Like, I don't feel like I need to take umrit and not cut my hair and I don't know, not get rid of my body hair or whatever, like, to be my religion or even be spiritual or even believe in anything. So I mean, she will have her own beliefs and stuff, and it's like she's representing like a part of the Muslim world that is herself, right? And I think that's brave, and props to her for doing that. But yeah, the backlash that I'm seeing is mainly from other Muslims that are kind of like, you should be modest, you shouldn't be doing this.
It's interesting because there's always someone with something to say about, you're interpreting the religion wrong. You know, like, some people will be like, okay, I've got my hijab on, but I can have a full face of makeup and I'm still modest. And some people will be like, I don't even wear hijab, but I don't have a full face of makeup and I wear like baggy clothes, I'm more modest than you. Do you get what I'm saying? It's kind of, and I know people got this view, and they will talk to each other about it, or be like, oh, you know, my friends, they don't cover up and I'm not comfortable with that. So there's always someone saying something about it.
Even like me and my own mum have a difference of opinion, and we're both Christian, and like, listen, if I leave the house and my arms are showing, my mum's just like, this isn't modest.
Really?
I promise you, I was going to my friend's nephew's baptism, and I was wearing like a jumpsuit. It was one of those days we had a heat wave. Mom was like, you're not gonna go to the church like with your arms showing. I'm like, what are you talking about?
She went, like, put a shawl on or something.
Yeah, that's basically what she was saying to me. She was just like, your outfit is not modest. So, you know, people have different opinions, but I think it's very different. Like, the standpoint I was coming from were people that are non-Muslims who are commenting on her images. And obviously Raj's standpoint is from people that are Muslims who are commenting. But it's a tough one, you know. But I think as well, like, you've got to consider the readership. So what does that mean? Because I think one, magazines are trying to be diverse or whatever. I don't think you should just try and tick off a diversity box, but it'd be interesting to see that how much of their readership or how much people who actually spend money on the magazine, buy the magazine, are Muslim. It would just be a very interesting thing, because to them it actually might be a business decision. If they've got a big Muslim readership or a big like, you know, then to them maybe it was a business decision. Who knows?
And them ticking off a box, right?
I immediately thought of that, like, oh, this is the box to tick now, right? This is the box that everyone's trying to tick. They want to tick the box. Kind of the whole thing about modesty makes me think about, like, once I saw this, I went to some event, right? This young Somalian girl, clothed in like a black dress with a hijab on, she's saying she is free because no one is her on her beauty or her sexiness. They're just gonna want to know what is in her heart and her smile. Whereas, does that mean that the rest of the female population are in some where we think, oh, we are not good enough if we don't like show our arms, for example, a bit cleavage out, put make, who is more free and who is oppressed?
I think the people who are free are people who have the peace in their heart and in their minds when they have an outfit. Do you know what I mean? Like, if it doesn't condemn you, then you're free. That's how I see it. And because I think people are always going to have different opinions on this stuff. And I feel like if you don't feel some type of way about it, then you're free. If you are constantly like murred by other people's judgments, if you feel condemned, or if you have like an internal conflict, like actually this isn't right, or this isn't right according to my religion, this isn't right according to what I've been taught, then you're not necessarily free. But also, when I say you're not necessarily free, like I think it is common for, especially if you've been raised a certain way, to have a moral conflict as you grow as a woman. Especially, I think a moral conflict is a normal thing to have, but then as you grow into your own, if you're at peace with the things that you're doing, I think those are the people that are free, regardless of if you're doing it or not. If you have internal peace, you're free.
That whole thing about, like, you know, oh, people are, what was it, people are seeing my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, isn't that what we should all be doing, regardless of if you've got your cleavage out and if you got like super glittery eyeliner on, or God knows what, you got fake lashes, you got no lashes. Yeah. Like, realistically, that's just what humankind should be, like, regardless of how anyone's dressed. And I don't know, like, I can't even agree with that. If you're dressed a certain way, someone's going to see you a particular way. They're only going to see you for your heart. Like, I can't agree with that, because, you know, from living in London and hearing about all these horrible stories and stuff, people will see you however they want to see you. If they're going to spit at you, they're going to spit at you. If they're going to, you know, call you an N-word, a P-word, they're going to do it. Like, it's up to everyone else to see you with their hearts and see you for your heart, regardless of how you look or what you're wearing or whatever. You know, if you got pink hair and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So just talking a little bit more about looks and stuff, cosmetic procedures, right? So England's top doctor says that people providing Botox, like on the high street these days, there's so many people providing Botox, they should learn how to check for mental illnesses like body dysmorphia. And like only 100 out of 1,000 practitioners are currently registered. So people, you know, beauty salons who do it and they're not actually supposed to be doing it. But is there actually anything wrong, or is there anything too mentally unstable if you want to get Botox, if you want to change your appearance, if you want to get fillers and stuff? Who's to say, oh, you know, it's more fair. Where do we draw the line?
It's kind of like a trend now, like, to kind of get cosmetic procedures and stuff. Like, in our office, like, there are, it's kind of just like normal, like, people will talk about it openly and be like, hey, I had Botox and like so what is it when you get your lips done, fillers?
Is that collagen? Fillers.
Yeah, so like, you know, anything like that, like it's kind of just people talk about it really openly and they're not like ashamed of it or quiet about it and stuff, and it's kind of like just become the norm now. But the thing is, yeah, I kind of agree. It, like, you do need to be registered or something and be across things and see if people have body dysmorphia or whatever. But then if they do have body dysmorphia, what are you going to then refuse to treat them or do a procedure on them? Like, that's the bit that I don't understand, because I feel like a lot of women suffer from body dysmorphia. It's a pretty common thing. Like, we must all know a friend who thinks they have a big bum or something, and that, you know, you look at them and you're like, what are you talking about? You know, it's just a normal thing. I don't know, then what would make them refuse to treat someone? How would that even work? And how will you be able to spot these little things? Because it's like, I can know someone for a year and they could be hiding something from me and I wouldn't know until, I don't know, because they're just hiding it. How is someone going to tell from a 5, 10, 20 minute consultation the mental health of someone? It's pretty difficult.
I mean, that what he's saying is that they should know, like, where to refer people. And I mean, that's a very tricky thing anyway to say. And but personally, I don't really think it's going to work, because this is the business of making money. Do you know what I'm saying? People out there want these procedures, and people want to make money from them at the end of the day. I don't really think it's got anything to do with seeing how well people are. I don't think so. But yeah, you're right, Raj. A lot of people, like, you know, normal people are getting these things. Because on the school run, I see mums and I'm like, oh. Because there's a certain look about these lip fillers, right? There's a certain look, right, where you can tell that somebody's had lip fillers. because there's a certain, I don't know, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? There's a certain look where it's somebody who's had thin lips before has now had fillers. There's so many mums. Okay, lip fillers. It's a normal thing. Would you guys ever get anything done like that?
Yeah, I feel like I would get it done, but it's got to be done like tastefully. Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to go from 0 to 100. I'm going to go 0 from 10 and then 10 to 20.
Nice and gradual.
Yeah, a nice little gradual. I think I'll draw the line. I think I would do like I'll do fillers, I would do like fat freezing, I would do like, I'll do tweaks. I personally think I'd be too scared to go under the knife. Until maybe once I've had kids, I might change my mind on that, but you know.
Yeah, and let me tell you, I was the person that was like, no, let's be natural. Everyone has to be natural. What is this? Let's all be natural. Now I've just turned 40 and I've got three kids. I'm like, you know what? No one is going to give you a medal when you're 80 years dead and say, well done, you were natural all this time, even though your kids ruined your body and you wanted to kind of sort yourself out a bit, have a little bit of a renovation. No one's going to give you a medal. So little tweaks here and there. Now I'm like, just, you know, it's all right. Life is too short at the end of the day. As long as you're chubby and you're not using all the food money for plastic surgery, I think it's fine. That's my view.
No, it's true. Exactly. Yeah, like, exactly. And I would do non-invasive. How do you say it? Non-invasive. That's what I would probably do. Because, yeah, I'm way too scared of anything else. And it just sounds painful.
What is that, like fillers and Botox and stuff?
I don't know. I mean, I've seen something where it's like you have laser on your lips, yeah, and it just promotes your collagen and it just gives your lips a little, it gives them a little plumpness. So I'd probably try that. So yeah, stuff like laser.
Try that
All right.
Listen, okay, can I say something, right? When is it age to start? Because I think that if you start too young, where are you going to go? Like, what are you going to look like if you keep going and going? Like, I'm kind of waiting until I get more haggard. Maybe like, so because now I think that there's people who are like, now I think there's like 25 year olds starting with Botox. If you
people
start
younger than that, definitely. I've seen girls younger than that with stuff done, and I think a lot of people who do Botox and stuff, they will tell you, like, as I have constantly been told when we've had these discussions, that you need to start young before you start getting lines. So,
oh wow,
yeah, I don't really know how that works, but like,
too late for me, then. Too late for
me. Yeah, but what lines do you have?
Me, I'm all right at the moment, but I'm kind of thinking, I haven't ruled it at Botox out. I'm thinking maybe 50, I don't know, let's see. I'm not like I said, I've changed. I'm not like, no, I just grow old gracefully. What's the point, man?
You can still do it gracefully by having a touch done here and there. It doesn't mean it's not going to be graceful. Mm-hmm. This is another thing, like that whole thing of aging gracefully. What does it mean to people? Like letting your white hair show, letting your lines show, doing this. Like we're all doing something about it, even if we're not having surgery. Like we're wearing eye creams, we're wearing anti-wrinkle creams. So is that not aging gracefully? Is that like, what is aging gracefully? You know, and at this, in this time, being 35, to some people it means like the end of the world, and that they're really old and you know that's it, but to some people it's like they're still in their 20s, you know.
But see, like, you know, I would say that we are like fairly like stable people, you know, and we're talking about, you know, I might get this done, I might get that done. So where it must be so hard to tell who has actually got a problem.
Exactly. How are they going to do it? I don't understand how they're going to do it unless they've developed like a machine that they hook up to your brain and it picks up on sensors or something, because I don't know. And people will lie. They'll pretend they're all right if they're not all right. Who's going to say, I'm not all right and I want a procedure? Like, no one's going to say that.
And also, I think, like, honestly, it's not the job of someone who does fillers to do someone's mental health. That's why we have like therapists, psychologists, that's why people have family.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think that having filler is a small part of a bigger issue. Do you know what I mean? if you have an actual mental health issue, it's not the filler that's going to solve it, and it's not the filler that's going to cause it. That's just a really minor part of a bigger issue. So I think that, listen, we need to leave people who are actually qualified to give fillers, let them collect their checks, and then let somebody else deal with the mental health issue.
But then, like, the other thing is maybe they can do it responsibly. Like, we've all seen women who have got fish lips, like, I mean, massive, like, to an, like, you know, like a barb, like a sex doll, right? And, like, I don't know, like, you know when things go too far and they're just like, maybe people can just do their job responsibly, and then maybe it's like when people want something that's a little bit too far, that's when they bring in another professional to just double check things are okay.
Yeah, I agree.
But did you see there was this show on Channel 5? Sorry, I'm going to just keep on, like, referencing shows. There's this show on Channel 5 about, like, giving people fillers, and there were some doctors who would tell their patients, like, you know what, I can't go any bigger, but the people would refuse. So they had this issue on not being able to, like, draw the line with their patients. So sometimes the people actually giving the filler would be like, no, this is too much, like, I can't go any bigger than this. But the patient would choose with their own money and be like, oh, they would want to go that way. So I think it's just like, at what stage can a doctor say no? Because if there is no regulations or guidelines in terms of how big is too big compared to your natural then whose job is it to tell them no? Maybe that's what needs to come into play, like regulations on, if your natural lip is this much, this is the maximum healthy capacity it can grow to without causing damages. Maybe that's what we need, regulations in terms of how far is too far.
Or even like the family and friends of people who are maybe spending all their income or the majority of their income on, like, sorting their face, on transforming themselves to look a different way. And that is what they're thinking about all the time, and that is what they're spending their money on, you know, to maybe have a word with them. What are you actually doing? Are you okay?
The other day I went to brunch. I went for a birthday brunch. I can't remember this restaurant we went to, but the girls that were walking, I'm going to send you the video after, actually, so you can view it. These girls' bums were ridiculous. I mean, they had the skinniest legs and the biggest butts. And I was just like, this is too much. And they were walking around proudly. And it wasn't just one of them. It was like the whole crew. And they would obviously go to this place. And the rich men love it. That's all I could see. I was just like, rich men is loving this. But it looked hideous. Sorry to say, I don't mean to put other women down.
No, it wasn't natural.
It was definitely, babe, it was not natural. Like, it wasn't even a natural shape. It was just, like, up and out. Yeah. It was, whoever did a terrible job.
Was it padding, or do you think it was, like, a butt job? Because, you know, people wear, like, pads and stuff, padding on their bum.
I think it was a butt job because, you know, if it's padding, at least it would cover your whole bum, but it was just the up bit, you know what I mean? Like, the bit from your back that curves, but it never reaches the bottom.
Wow.
So this is going to be a time where people look back on and be like, oh, in history, you know, in this time in history, this is what women used to do, because they were so crazy. They used to have BBLs. It's going to be that time. This is the time that people are going to refer to when everyone lost their minds, basically, I think.
And can I just say, we can't blame the Kardashians. Let's stop blaming the Kardashians for everything. It's ridiculous.
I know. Okay, so listen, let's talk about creativity, right? So what age does creativity peak? Apparently, creativity peaked in your 20s and 50s. Research from Ohio State University found that in our mid-20s is when our brains become like fertile ground for innovation. But if you haven't quite reached what you wanted to in your 20s, apparently you get a second creative peak in your 50s. Like, do you agree with this?
No way. How are you gonna put an age on creativity? That is not real. That is not life. Like, I get it. You guys are doing these studies and stuff, but do them about something that's actually relevant. Sorry. Like, because what you're doing, you're putting down, like, people that aren't in their 20s or their 50s, or you can't have a good idea in your 30s. You can't have a good idea when you're 4. You can't have a good idea when you're 10. I read about a girl the other day who is 10 years old, and she's created an app that teaches children how to code. She's 10 years old. She has not reached her peak. She's not in her 20s. She's not in her 50s. Let's stop putting people in boxes. It's getting so boring. Like, seriously, let's stop telling people what they can and cannot do and when they should do it and blah, blah, blah. I thought we were past this by now, but clearly we're not. It's so sad. This study is so dead.
Okay, but listen, but in 20s, when you have like less responsibilities and stuff, it's, you know, you can just kind of concentrate on yourself and you've done your education and stuff, and then you're like, okay, what am I gonna do next, right? Naturally, is that not the time when you're like, okay, I'm gonna think of this and I'm gonna go with it? Whereas in some people, like for example me, got married at 28 and then had kids quite soon after, and if I had an idea, which I always do, like, I don't really have the time. I haven't reached my creative peak, and I'm kind of, I have good ideas all the time. Like, I feel like I'm churning out things. The time, I feel like I'm hoping I'm not going to be 50 by the time I get to do it all. Do you understand what I mean?
I get what you mean, and I'm in agreement that I do think that actually, I'm not saying I haven't had a good idea since I was 20, but listen, I feel like listen, when you're fresh out of college. Fresh out of uni, the thing I think as well comes with the fact that when you're fresh out of college and uni, you have no fears. Real life has not hit you yet, so you're actually coming out with some of your best work. It's just that you're not paid properly for it at that age, right? And you don't really know how to like maneuver it, execute it properly. But I do feel like when you're 20, life hasn't hit you yet, so you're coming up, the ideas are just plentiful. Do you know what I mean? I kind of agree with what they're saying. I just hope that my peak isn't 50 either, but I do think that if we're being really honest with ourselves, right, in our early 20s was some of our best work. It just wasn't appreciated like it needs to be. And then once you hit your 30s, it's almost like, I just feel like all the ideas you come out with or regurgitate is ideas, it's an accumulation of lots of different people's ideas. You've been taught how to do things. Do you know what I mean? You've been to many different companies. You're picking up things from your friends. You're picking up things from your colleagues. You're picking up things from all these magazines you're reading, campaign, industry events, and all of that. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like actually it's when you're out of it, that's when you come up with some of the best work.
I mean, I go,
you know what?
Saying.
You're right. And also because I think you get scared of things as well. Like, because I realized, like, since I left a major media corporation and came out of that world, I feel a bit more like, I feel a bit more free, like I can do what I want to do, and I don't really care what anyone thinks, because I think like I'm at that point where I'm like, you know what, I'm not 20 anymore, I'm a bit older, and I actually don't care. Like, I've got the time to care what people are going to think about this and that. I'm saying, I kind of agree with the study. Sorry, Raj.
But okay, what about the 10-year-old? What about the 10-year-old that's created the app to teach kids younger than her?
She's an anomaly,
her?
Babe.
Anomaly? Anomaly?
Anomaly. Yeah, that's it.
I don't know, man. I just feel like it's...
She's like one in a million.
You can't put a timeline on creativity. Creativity is just one of those things. And you can't say that's your best ideas in your 20s or your 50s. Like, I just feel like any idea you have is never a bad idea. There's no such thing as a bad idea. It's
babe,
either underdeveloped
if your, babe,
or
if your idea
what?
Don't make you money, or if it doesn't do anything.
No,
for you,
that's
it's a bad
not
idea,
true.
Babe.
That's not true. That's not true. Definitely not true. Definitely not true. Having like worked with many people who have like roles higher than mine that make decisions, who actually don't know shit about shit, and they are making bad decisions. And if they're saying no to your idea, it doesn't mean your idea is shit. It means this person doesn't know jack all about what is relevant, and that's not your fault, that's their fault. So you go take your idea somewhere else and someone will say yes. It's a simple, you're just talking to the wrong people. If you've got a good idea,
it's a very stereotypical study. It's a very stereotypical, because it's like, okay, this is how your life is set out. You know, you go to uni and then you come out, you have all your ideas about what you want to do in life, you work on them, then you're going to settle down, get married, look after your kids, have a nice job, and then after everyone's left home, and then you're like, you know, thinking about retiring, or oh, shall I do this or that, and you have some other brainwave. It's very stereotypical, but not every life is in that way, is it?
No, not everyone lives the same life. Not everyone has the same experiences.
They don't. So the last thing I want to talk to you guys about is, I don't know whether you saw that story about the ASOS dress. So basically, ASOS apologized this week after leaving bulldog clips on a dress in a photo that they had online. And I was surprised, personally. I mean, is it surprising that, like, personally, when I buy stuff online, nothing ever fits me? And I feel like this kind of explains why. It's all a big fat lie. And what is even going to fit these models? What do you think, guys?
I mean, I have great experiences shopping online, but I, like, majority of what I've bought, it will be returned, right? And that's just because, yeah, it doesn't fit me. But then it's like the same thing as me going into the changing room in the shop. Everything that I've picked up, the 12 items that I've picked up, maybe two will fit me. And that's just, that's also because in every store, the sizing is always different. And sometimes even in the same store, a size 12 in a certain dress that's cut a certain way will fit you. But a size 12 in another dress in the same store is not going to fit you, because that's just, they're different seamstresses. They're cutting from different patterns. It's just random. It always has been. We've seen so many stories like that about, like, especially H&M. We all know those stories, right? Where their sizing is just.
What stories in H&M?
H&M, like, this has been like a regular thing with H&M. Their sizing is never consistent. So someone, for example, who is a size 10 in H&M will be able to fit into size 16 jeans in H&M. And then it goes back to that whole body dysmorphia thing, and what is the high street making us do, and what is fashion creating? And I think we just all need to accept that, like, you know, sizing is going to be different everywhere you go. And we, you know, you might think you're a certain size, but hey, there's going to be a garment out there that's going to prove that you're not.
Do you guys like shopping online?
I love it.
Oh my gosh, I love shopping online.
Pilar never returns anything. Like, she will not return, even if it doesn't fit her, she's not going to return it. She's a serial online buyer. Well, what do you do with it?
They just stay there until one day I'm going to lose weight and fit into them.
God. Oh, you're going to sell them on Depop, right?
Yeah, maybe one day I'll sell them on Depop, yeah.
Wow. See, every time I purchase things from online, sometimes they're like big fat disappointments. Actually, apart from today when I picked up some jeans, some denim dungarees from New Look, and I was thinking, oh, these are going to look so stupid on me. And they looked really nice. And I was like, oh my gosh. This is so rare for me that something I order from online is rare for me. I prefer going into the shops, to be honest with you.
Sometimes it's just a time thing. Like, I don't have time to go into the shops and stuff. So I'll be there on my lunch break or while I'm supposed to be doing work on Azos, like on the app, just going, okay, cool. I like this. Add into my cart. Boof, done. It's coming tomorrow. Great. And then what I'll do for sizes is sometimes I'll order the same thing in two sizes and then I'll just return the one that doesn't fit.
Returning these things takes time, doesn't it?
No, not really. It's not that bad. Like, so I know, for example, my parents have a business really close to the local post office. So I will pack up my Azos order and I'll be like, Mum, on your way to work today, can you take this to the post office for me? And she'll be like, sure, I'll do it. So my returns happen magically.
So you've got a whole system worked out.
Yeah.
Raj, I feel like your ASOS is like biggest
you
fan.
Because
I don't see her on any other website apart from ASOS. Like, you're not even on the website, you're on the app. That is literally all the only place you shop online. She's always scroll. Every time I look at her phone, she's scrolling on ASOS. It's a hobby of mine.
But you could be scrolling forever on ASOS because there's like 11,000 tops and like 14,000.
No. What you do is if you're a regular scroller, you go to new in and you just scroll, and then until you recognize the garments, you're like, okay, I've seen these products, I don't need to look at them anymore.
That's funny.
But I'd be on it more regularly. But then the thing is, they don't also, they haven't got reviews on there either.
You can tweet Azos. I call them Azos. I'm so sorry, guys. I feel like I work for Azos, but you can tweet them, and they've got like a Twitter thing called, I think, Azos Here to Help, and you can like have a go at them about the deliveries and all of that and the sizes. But they do have a thing now on there where they've got a size guide, so they can tell from things that you've ordered that you've kept what size will fit you in that garment. So there'll be, when you're putting it into your cart, it will be like recommended size this for this garment. And then it's up to you whether you want to go with what they're recommending or you want a size up or down.
Yeah.
And okay. I feel like sizing is like the big reason that people went off on that thing that they noticed on the video. But I think, like, listen, everyone needs to relax. For all they know, the only sample size they might have had on the day that they were shooting was maybe a size 12, and then a size 6 model shows up. So they've got to make it fit some way, somehow. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like everyone just needs to relax. If your clothes don't fit, you can always go to a tailor. That's what I do.
It's so true. And then even on the high street, right, all of those tops we're seeing on the mannequins when we're walking past the beautiful displays, they have got bulldog clips in them. They have been clipped at the back, like, to look like they're fitting the mannequin a certain way. Sometimes, you know, it's a size 16 top on, like a size 6 model with no boobies. So what they're going to do, they're going to tuck her in the right places to make it look like it's shapely. Yeah, so that happens everywhere. This is just marketing. Like, we need to all relax. Again, it's just like, guys, chill. Just relax.
All right, ladies, well, I better go. And I've got one daughter that's not in bed and she's running around. I can hear her. And I think my husband wants me to go to bed.
Oh, okay.
That's so cute.
But it's been nice talking to you again.
Aren't they going to bed late because it's like bank holiday weekend?
I think the older two have gone to bed. But no, because the thing is, they, you know how some kids go to bed at like 10 and then they wake up at like 9 or something? They don't. They just still wake up really early, but really. So there's no point. So I think we'd say like maybe 9, they can go to sleep around 9. But unless it's like New Year's Eve, you're not going to, do you know what I mean? It's like, no, you're going to bed. But the little one, because she's 2, gets away with like running around doing random things.
Aww.
And then I think like I'm at the point where I'm too tired and I can't be bothered with putting her to sleep. So I'm just like, you know what? The 2 down, you just do what you want because I'm just too tired.
She'll wear herself out.
She will wear herself out. Yeah, that's so cute.
And so the Lord knows what she's doing now. I better go and check what she's doing.
Okay, cool. We'll let you go.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you for having us again.
You've been listening to the Sisterhood of Mummy Imperfect. If you like what you heard, then subscribe. And if you've got anything to say about it, leave a comment. Until next time, take care.